Bible reading this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's up the back somewhere. Before Hebrews, I think. Aha, there we go. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by God's will, for the sake of the promise of life in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly loved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, who I must serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. Remembering your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now, I am convinced, is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Saviour Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald, apostle, and teacher, and that is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day.
Let me pray. Our Father God, we thank you that we can be here together today. We pray, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is always relevant to us. And in these uncertain times, we pray that you'll have a word for us now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we certainly live in uncertain times. Our nation endured the bushfires with much loss of life and property. Thousands of hectares of bushland destroyed, and businesses in main streets burnt to the ground. Many Sydneysiders woke day after day to be enveloped in a thick cloud of smoke from the fires. Soon after they abated, severe storms soon arrived, breaking many weather records. The bulk of the rain fell between the 7th and the 10th of February, with peak two-day totals exceeding 200 mils at many locations. Some sites had their highest February daily rainfall on record. In the space of 4 days, there was major flooding in the Hawkesbury and the Georges River regions. And now we are in uncharted territory with the spread of the coronavirus, COVID-19. Who would have thought that we would experience major sporting events cancelled or played in empty stadiums? Easter show cancelled, Wimbledon and French Open tennis looking likely to be cancelled, and perhaps even the Olympic Games. Yes, these are uncertain times. And the uncertainty has led to fear. Fear in buying toilet paper and other essential items. And fear in selling, as evidenced by the share market losing about a quarter of its value. Fear of businesses going broke, including major airlines. Such fear has led to some people to take on board the Scouts' motto to be prepared. Nick Sayers, who lives in suburban Sydney, has been ready and prepared since 2011, when the Fukushima nuclear disaster rocked Japan and the rest of the world. He started the website Australian Preppers and wrote a free manual arguing that it is logical to prepare for certain eventualities. He has about 3 months of food supplies, and that's always been the case, he says. He says, we're ready, but who knows what's going to happen? Coronavirus has taken lives, he said, but it's the hysteria, that craziness that is happening, that is the largest danger. As a last resort, he has a mobile pack. You can have a bug-out bag if you have to leave home for 72 hours. It has provisions, some clothing, and legal documents. He says, we try not to carry much food and water with us. We carry a life straw, which means we can drink out of puddles. His advice to others, to stop, calm down and analyse the situation and go out slowly and gather a couple of extra bits of food, a couple of rolls of toilet paper. Don't go over the top, he says. Well, that sounds like pretty okay advice. But yes, we are in uncertain and fearful times. We may not be fearful so much of the virus, but maybe we're a little bit fearful of the fear, the hysteria, and the economic fallout. In such times, how should we react? Well, I have three simple points. Firstly, don't fear. Don't fear. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy to not be fearful. He was tempted to be afraid. Not fearful of a virus, but fearful of delivering a message. In chapter 1, verse 7, that verse that we sang, he writes, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. In the context, Paul is saying, do not be afraid to preach. Do not be afraid to speak out the good news of Jesus. And so we read in verse 6, therefore I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. Keep going. Now, there is a natural tendency in all of us to shy away from speaking God's words. But Paul says, don't let the fear of the response stop you. Now, fear can be paralyzing. Louis Pasteur had such an irrational fear of dirt and infection that he refused to shake hands with anyone. Well, he would have been right at home at the moment. President Benjamin Harrison was so intimidated by electricity when it was first installed in the White House that he didn't touch the light switches. If there were no servants around to turn off the lights when he went to bed, he would sleep with them on. We all may have our phobias. You may even have what's known as phobia-phobia, which is the fear of having a phobia. But whatever might frighten us, Paul says, don't be fearful. Don't let fear paralyze you. Why? Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and sound judgment. We need not fear when we need to defend the hope that is in us. Let us not be afraid to admit being Christian in the workplace or the university. Or the probus meeting, or the supermarket, even when someone is stealing your toilet paper roll. The danger is that we will be more fearful of what people think of us than what God thinks of us. Don't fear those who can do damage to the body, says Jesus, but fear him who can throw both body and soul into hell. In the good times and in the uncertain times, remember that nothing can happen outside God's control. And remember that he has given us not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound judgment. What is the spirit, though, that Paul is referring to here? Is this saying he has given us nothing more than a disposition of power, love, and sound judgment? In other words, that he is talking about our human spirit? It could be that. Some people take it that way. But more likely, I think, it is referring to God giving us the Holy Spirit. Nearly every instance of giving the Spirit in the New Testament, it is talking about the giving of God's Spirit, giving the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who gives power and love. In Ephesians 3:16, Paul prays that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And Romans 5:5, Paul says, "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." In the midst of uncertainty, in times of fear, brothers and sisters, remember that God has given his Spirit, which strengthens us with power. But power for what? The answer is not what we might imagine. Look with me at verse 8. "So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God." We can endure suffering for the gospel by the power of God. God's Spirit empowers you to endure affliction. Now, that is not what we might expect. Power religion, if you want to use that term, is not power to convert the masses or to persuade thousands or even to be a dominant personality. No, the power that God's Spirit gives here, as it refers to here, is power to endure hardship. And we need help to do that, don't we? So friends, with God's Spirit, we need not fear whatever opposition may come our way. So that's the first point. Do not be afraid. Don't fear. Secondly, do not be ashamed. Verse 8, "So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God." Now, when Paul says, "Don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord," I used to think it was just, "Don't be ashamed to speak up. Don't remain silent. Don't be afraid to put it out there that you're a Christian." And it is that. But even more, I suspect, it is, "Don't be ashamed to own the message." You see, we might be tempted to think it is such a weak message. It's a pathetic message. A message about a crucified man, a shameful man. How is that going to do any good? In the first century, the idea of a crucified Messiah was a deeply shameful thing. A crucified person was a person without honour. And we can be tempted to be ashamed by being associated with a shameful message, which means association with a shameful person, a crucified person, no less. And so somehow we want to add to the message and make it more appealing and make it more palatable. But don't be. God has given us the gospel, which Paul says in Romans is the power of God for salvation. It is a shameful message, but a powerful message. What do people need to hear in these uncertain times? It is the gospel. The same message they need to hear in good times. So do not be fearful and do not be ashamed. As the COVID-19 virus and fear continued to sweep through the city of Wuhan, Christians are boldly emerging from the underground to share the good news, shining Christ's light and hope into the darkness. In a country where believers are often persecuted, courageous Christians have taken to the streets to give out surgical masks, which are now extremely valued, and gospel tracts, according to a report by the Christian Broadcasting Network. They share the love of Christ and point to Jesus to bring hope to them and their families and the whole of China. Videos posted on Twitter show Christians, some in yellow protective suits, distributing masks to pedestrians and motorists on relatively empty streets, while audio gospel tracks play loudly in the background. Others are even broadcasting encouraging sermons from their balconies at home. In a blog post by a missionary to Wuhan, The author, who only identified himself as PZ, noted that these acts of kindness by Christians have helped them gain favour in the city, even among the authorities. At a time when people are desperate and money is useless since it cannot buy them a mask, Christians are sharing hope and comfort from God. Christians are gaining the respect they never had because of their willingness to risk their health to serve. Physical death for the Christian is no longer the ogre that it once was. If you are a Christian, then you needn't be afraid, yes, of the virus or even of the fear and the hysteria, but we needn't be afraid of death. And this is the message that we have to proclaim, that because of Jesus' death on the cross, instead of death, one can have life and immortality in a life lived with Jesus in heaven forever. So don't fear and don't be ashamed, for we do have the words of eternal life. And don't forget verse 10. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Saviour Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And then it goes on, but I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day, the day when Jesus returns or the day when he is taken to be with his Lord. What are we not to forget? That Jesus has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What a light to shine in times when there is the fear of sickness and death. And the gospel that we proclaim is a promise about the future, a future which instead of suffering will be life, a future which instead of death will be immortality. If we don't remember that the gospel is about the future, then we won't be willing to suffer for Christ in the present. It is knowing what the future will bring that keeps us going right here and now. Friends, Jesus has achieved mastery over death. He has destroyed death. If that is true, then the good news of Jesus, rather than something to be ashamed of, is something to proclaim from the rooftops. So we must remember what our future will be and believe it, because otherwise it would be crazy to suffer in the present. So as we go forth and elect people for the coming year to our various positions, as we consider another year of serving our Lord, let's not be dejected, no matter what the uncertainties of life, but let us lift up our sights off the floor, if that is where we are tempted to have them. And let's be those who don't fear, who are not ashamed, and who do not forget our glorious future, and instead are those who spread the gospel actively and who suffer for the gospel bravely. Amen. We're going to respond by asking our God for help and guidance as we do that, as we stand to sing, "Guide me, O my great Redeemer."